Hey, it's Kirsten. Do you feel like you're spending way too much money on supplements? When I started out on my health journey, I was also shocked about how expensive high-quality supplements were, especially as I was upping how many I was taking. That's why when I became a practitioner back in 2018, I started offering my clients a way to save up to 25% off many of their supplements through a company called Wellevate, which is spelled Wellevate. Through Wellevate, you can order many of the supplements that you're already taking, like Pure Encapsulations, Gaia Herbs, Enzymedica, and others at discounts of up to 25% off retail. And shipping is free for orders over $49 within the United States. The only way to buy supplements through Wellevate is through a practitioner, and I will earn a small commission at no additional cost to you while you're saving money. So if you want to start saving upwards of 25% off your supplement bill, go to the resources page on my website at carefullyhealing.com/resources and go to the Wellevate section. You don't have to be a client, just set up your account and start saving. I'm Kirsten Ramstrom, a certified holistic health coach, and welcome to the Quest for Healing podcast. Whether you're just starting out on your health journey or you're farther down your path, I've created this podcast to inspire and inform your health journey through first, some extraordinary healing stories from real people, second, an exploration of some intriguing healing modalities, and third, through conversations with enterprising people who are making a difference in the health of our world. Welcome to episode 76. I'm sorry there's been a little bit of a delay with this episode. I was traveling for the first time since 2019 and ended up staying away longer than I had originally planned. But I'm happy to be back with you now. And this week is another one of those weeks when we're going to dive into women's health issues. So here's my warning up front that we're going to have a very open conversation about women's reproductive organs. And if you're not ready for this, this is the time to click through to a different Quest for Healing episode. But if you're ready to learn more, especially about vulvodynia, which is basically an almost meaningless label for pain, burning, or irritation of the vagina, you are in the right place, and I'm so glad that you're here. These are some of the symptoms that people don't always want to talk about with friends, doctors, or in the social media groups, but that doesn't mean that they're any less problematic than many of the other symptoms out there. So I couldn't be more happy this week to have Sarah from HealingVaginas.org on the podcast. Sarah suffered for years with agonizing vaginal pain, and after being told by many doctors that they couldn't help her, she finally found answers with medical mediums' work. And as she went through all of this, she created an absolutely wonderful website with an incredible amount of helpful information on not just vulvodynia, but many other women's health issues as well. And she talks about how she healed using the medical medium information. This is by far the best website that I've seen where this information is organized and synthesized in such a comprehensive, but also an easily understandable way. So if you're suffering from your own vaginal issues, I strongly recommend that you check out healingvaginas.org. And if you have a friend who's been suffering with women's health problems as well, and you think that she would find this episode helpful, please feel free to share it with her. So with no further ado, let's dive right into this fantastic conversation with Sarah. Sarah, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. I'm really excited to be here.
Your story is so amazing. Your knowledge base on the topic of all things vagina just blows my mind.
Yeah.
This is one of those episodes where we're going to say vagina a whole lot.
The whole time.
It's similar to when I had Kathy Catlin on too, which is awesome because let's be clear, we as women need more support in that department. And so I commend you for the healing that you've done yourself and the Vulva Warriors Facebook group that you have that is such a wonderful place. And we'll definitely link to that in the show notes. But what I wanted to do was have you on the podcast because I wanted to hear more about your story and what you went through and how it led to the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. And it's kind of a long story, so I'll try to shorten it when I can. But it was a brutal battle. It was very painful. It clarified a lot of things, you know, that when the doctor said it was in my head, I knew something was wrong with the medical industry. Like even in my 20s, I was like, that's weird. You know, they don't say that much as now in the Western cultures, but in some of the other cultures around the world, I still hear from women that they're saying it's in their head, which is not only, you know, you're in pain, now you're mentally like, am I crazy? So it really clarified a lot of things, which I think is one of the gifts of being in chronic pain, is that really clarify what works and what doesn't. And so you have a select group of people in medical medium world who would never try medical medium, but they had no other choice. So we're like, well, that sounds good. I say this a lot when I talk to women. I'm like, I was in so much pain. If Tinkerbell had given me moon dust, I would have tried it. I did not give a shit, you know? And so I think that's a lot of our group who comes to medical medium is like, sure, why not try that? That sounds good. You know, because we've been to the 25 doctors. We've been to all the practitioners. You know, this wasn't a three doctor, oh, let's try this situation. Yeah. So I don't know where you want me to begin.
Why don't you start and tell us about how your symptoms started when you first noticed them and how they developed over time?
Okay. When I first noticed them, I was laying in bed. And then all of a sudden I woke up and it felt like someone had stuck a hot poker at my vagina. The other way you could describe it is like if someone poured hot acid or like poured Clorox on your vagina, then lit it on fire. I wish I was exaggerating with that pain description. I am not. My level 10 was the same pain level when I gave birth to my daughter. And it was worse because you didn't know how to stop it. And that was the peak of her birth, like the pain level of, and it was vaginal shingles. So anybody who's familiar with medical medium's work, he really does describe it as torturous, and it is. But again, in my 20s, so that's when it started, just out of the blue, nowhere. That's when I started going to see all the doctors. And now I was part of a PPO. And if you don't know American medicine, when you're part of a PPO, there's no like, oh, I'm going to go to this doctor. This doctor can't figure it out. So we'll send you the specialists. PPO was sort of a popcorn situation of doctors. You're going to this doctor, you're going to that doctor. None of the doctors are talking to each other. I got tested for herpes so many times. Chlamydia, they love to test me for chlamydia. And instead of taking my medical reports from doctor to doctor while I was doctor shopping, I would just get tested for it over and over again. I'm 22. I have no idea. You know, I don't know how to work with doctors. And at that point, vulvodynia wasn't even on their radar. They were like, your vagina's burning. That's weird. Like literally like no clue. They're like, didn't you? And nowadays, like, didn't you see this specialist? Now there's conventional vulvodynia specialists. That wasn't even around, you know, because this is back in early 2000s. So let's see. The first thing I did was I figured out 15 doctor in, you know, they know nothing, you know? And so I started to do the Candida diet, which back then was, Anthony William talks a lot about the Candida, not a lot, but it has a good section on the Candida diet of why it does help because it takes out most of the no foods out, but there's no celery juice. There's no heavy metal detox. There's no fruit. You know, I was drinking gallons of apple cider vinegar to control the pain. Oh yeah. I'm having to heal that now in my 40s. Such
wow.
A pain. Oh yeah. Gallons, just like half a bottle a day, like not even. So when he talks about apple cider injury, that one was for me. Like there's been so many times that I was like, oh, he nailed it. Mm-hmm. That's when my tooth decay started in my 40s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he described the age that I got some of the issues that I have now that I'm healing now. Thank God. So I was able to start getting the pain down through that. Right. And I also left my incredibly stressful job. And then, around the stressful time, I started to lose weight, a lot of weight, not cute weight, like emaciated weight. Like everyone around me thought I had an eating disorder because everything kept making my vagina burn. So I stopped eating a lot of foods.
So you were seeing a lot of connection between what foods you were eating on a daily basis and how much burning you were having.
In my 20s. So like one doctor was like, that's impossible. I saw an internist. He's like, that's impossible. I was like, give me a chocolate bar and like my vagina will burn in 10 minutes from now. I think a lot of them thought I had an eating disorder looking back because I was so emaciated until I started getting the rashes on my face. So the rashes came, they glued my mouth shut. They glued my eyes shut. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And mm-hmm. So
when did that start?
Around the vagina, towards the ending of the vagina burn, but during the emaciated time. And I don't know if the weight loss was from my fear of eating because everything made vagina burn, or it was Anthony William talks about, you know, when uncontrolled weight loss, it's an EBV reaction. And he goes into the thyroid book.
At this point, I was on Mattress Island. Anthony talks a lot about this. Basically, for a few weeks, it was hard for me to stand or walk up the stairs. So my parents ended up putting me on a mattress on the floor in the living room so they could just take care of me better. And remember, at this point, I'm not a child. I'm around 22 or so.
Wow.
Anywho's. So I finally was like, screw it. And I literally was like, I want something so far away from conventional medicine. And I literally opened up the phone book, which I'm sure millennials will have no idea what this is. It was a yellow book that had phone numbers and advertisements in it. And I was just aging myself at this point. And it literally was an ad in Chinese, or I'm sorry, Mandarin or Cantonese. I'm not quite sure. It wasn't English. So I was like, that's perfect. So I literally go to an acupuncturist with, I can't talk because my mouth is glued shut. My eyes are gluing shut. I think she was the one who got me to go off apple cider vinegar.
Looking back and trying to piece together why in that point in my life that I healed, for that time, I was like totally the acupuncturist. But then later I found that she couldn't get rid of the vaginal pain and the vaginal burns. And it was good to know in my head that I was at that point, I was in a really, really stressful job and I quit around this time. And so probably just the lack of a daily doses of adrenaline was probably the key point in the pivotal point in my healing. You know, at this point I thought of traditional Chinese medicine. So I did another 10 to 15 years of traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncturist, herbalist.
Like my favorite herbalist was in Chinatown in San Francisco. Didn't speak a lick of English. His son would translate for me and he would put like just bark in paper bags. And it was brilliant because this is long before I found Anthony Wellman information. So over the next sort of years, I got the weight back. My sister became a raw foodist because she was sick too. I'm not the only one in my family. It's a long line of sick people. So I think that actually looking back, I was like, oh, that probably held me together for many years. So that was really good because I wasn't all the way raw foodist, but I was like half raw, which was like, that's probably, I was probably really healthy around that time, looking back. And during that whole time, my vagina wasn't unprovoked burning, but it was like, just sex was uncomfortable. Like my vagina always ran hot. It was just always hot. I always had to carry around this Chinese medicine to cool it down, which turned out had tons of the chemicals and I'll never recommend it, but I kept my sanity, which is important, you know? So I was able to get pregnant with my son. And 3 months into his pregnancy, it just lit on fire. Oh, out God. Of nowhere back to, so that was another 10 round of the doctors. And this time I was with Kaiser, which was an HMO. And so when their gynecologist quickly was like, oh, this is above our head, they sent me to their specialist, which was great. But of course they didn't know. And I knew they didn't know. And the most fascinating story about this was I was sent to a specialist and the best of the best in San Francisco. And the internists, which is people who I'm not sure who know this, internists are the ones who are training to be a doctor or training to be a specialist, right? So she takes my intake and I go all of this information. I understand that they don't understand that they can't fix it. The only reason I'm doing the appointment is so I can get more time off of work. She takes my thing and she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. She's like, we will totally be able to help you, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, she has no idea. So the specialist comes in, of course, he's like, I'm like, I have no idea. She's like, here's some lidocaine, which burns. Yeah. And I remember looking at the internist and it was like, I killed her puppy. You know, when the doctor was like, we can't help you. There's nothing that we can do. And I remember just seeing that destruction on her face that she spent probably the last so many years of her life becoming a doctor to find no answers. And so that pain was probably same levels, screaming levels of pain. Back to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. But they can't help. So I remember standing in front of a grocery store. And this time I majored in theology, classical literature. Like I've been praying. It gave me reprieve at times, but it didn't. This was the miracle. So standing in front of the grocery store, I prayed out to God to save myself and my child. Around that time, my doctor had tried to put me on an antidepressant. And looking back, I realized my doctor, she was just scared for me and my sanity. And this unfortunately tends to be common in our group. And to my doctor, I was like, won't that hurt the baby? And she was like, no, it won't hurt the baby. And you know, it didn't feel right to me. So I decided to not take it and just white knuckle the whole thing. And then 6 months after he was born, it came out in a study that particular antidepressant can cause serious birth defects. Anyway, so back to the grocery store. So I'm standing in front of the grocery store. I literally verbally, I'm like, God help me, like save my child. And I remember walking in the store and I remember watching my hands. I took celery, cilantro, cucumber, and lemon. And I remember trying not to cry in the line, not being able to see the blender because I can't see through the tears. That drink would relieve my pain always and forever in 25 minutes. At that point, it was a smoothie because I didn't know any better. Later, it would become a juice because of Anthony Williams' death.
And how is it that you had decided that these were the things that helped?
Freaking miracle, man. Because it was no, like a lot of times when you have food intuition, well, you're usually in a pretty good place. You know, like you're like, oh, this feels good to me. When you're in a place of fear and pain, I've learned it's just the angels, just like moving your hands, because to be in an intuitive, healthy place where you can really discern like what your body needs, you need to be in a good standing place. And I was not in a good standing place. And it
but was so your point is that the angels had really led you to these particular foods.
Oh, totally.
Before you found William, but you were already with the cucumbers and the cilantro and some of the other things.
So, and that's the weird thing about my story was that when I found Anthony William years later, this is before he wrote books and such. So he had blog posts, one on cilantro, one on cucumber, one on celery. Eventually he had a book on celery. And I was like, oh, because the doctors couldn't explain. I would explain like this takes everything away. And like, that's weird. And even my like alternative practitioners, like, that's strange. And then I go to Anthony Williams stuff and he has pages on the stuff explaining exactly what they do, which is nerves, which is shingles, which is detox, which is like everything that I had. Metals, cilantro, like it's just, there it is. So when I finally found Anthony William years later, I already knew that whatever he was saying was correct. And the voice that he was hearing was the voice of God or the voice of spirit, you know, like, yeah, that's right. So I was able to have my son. And by that point, all the burning had calmed down.
And if you look in the thyroid book, he explains that the influx of pregnancy hormones can feed EBD. Then if you look at conventional medical charts of HCG levels during a woman's pregnancy, you will notice that those HCG levels peak around a few months into pregnancy.
So by the time I had my son, I had him vaginally, which is a freaking miracle, but the birth was really hard. It was 30 hours pushing. He was the wrong side. And then I tore really badly. And then I was in pain for 6 months, like excruciating pain for 6 months. EBD, you know, EBD attaches to the nerves. It just inflames everything that it can. So, you know, looking back, I can piece together everything. So how I found Anthony William was, it was a year into my son was about a year, and me and my son kept getting the flu. We would get the flu, and this happened for a year. So I'm not sure, maybe when he was under one, he started getting the flu. We would both get the flu. And the flu would last for a week, and then we would be fine for 3 weeks, and then we would get it again. And this happened for a year, and he would be in like high temperatures every 4 weeks. It was horrible. And I couldn't stop it. And I remember, again, like, I'm not the only sick person in my family. And someone recommended, hey, have you tried this Anthony William thing? And I was like, oh, you know, sure, why not? You know? And there it was. There was his explanation of cilantro, celery, cucumber. And it just was like, my body was like, that's what you were waiting for. And I was like, there it is. Okay.
And when was this?
Oh gosh. My son was one or two around that age. One, I want to say. No, we were sick for a year. I don't know. One or two, when he was one or two.
Okay. And that, but this was before the books came out, but while he had the website.
Yeah. So he had his website. He was on Hay House radio show. And I think that was it. So I was just putting this together with his blog posts and his blog posts and his radio shows. And then there were some Facebook groups who would do notes, but not like the groups we have now. And he was still taking callers. I think at that point he was still seeing people and like counseling people. And, but there wasn't the coaching, the medical medium coaches that we have now who are amazing. Like those didn't really exist. The ones that there was recommended. I saw one, nothing she said was anything related to Anthony William. Now looking back. Anyway, so I focused on, you know, the flu, you know, healing flus, those protocols. So zinc, less dairy, taking out chicken was a huge thing. And the flus just stopped, like abruptly stopped. And I was like, whoa, look at that. So then it was, and then about a year when my son was two, I got pregnant again. And that pregnancy, I was gestational diabetic. And then I miscarried 12 weeks in.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was rough. And then during that miscarriage, of course, the vaginal burning would come back, because God forbid you have a miscarriage without vaginal burning. So when the burning came back, and again, I've been on Anthony William, and I want people to understand, like, I was on Anthony William for about a year, but I was doing stuff at like a certain level. I was doing the celery juice and it took out eggs, but it takes a while to heal. It takes a while to transition your diet, you know?
Well, and especially if you were starting to follow him in the early days, the amount of information to glean out of those radio shows, it was in such bits and pieces, right?
It's such bits. Yes. The fat thing. He didn't start talking about the fat thing until, I swear, in my book, like recently, you know,
Liver
like
Rescue. The fat,
yeah. Yeah.
He didn't like start that. Talking about that was 2018. And so we're talking, wow, like the radio show started mid 2015, 4 or 5 months before the first book came out. So you were starting without the book. And yeah, I'm sure trying to piece all of that together. Did you even know about the heavy metal detox smoothie yet? Was that a thing?
Oh, yeah, it was, but I didn't connect it to the vaginal pain. I was connecting it to, because my son had a speech delay. My son was hypoglycemic.
I knew I had a lot of metals because my family has a long line of depression, anxiety, and I've had bouts of it as well.
So yeah. So I knew I had metals. I didn't really connect like, oh, random vaginal rashes, random microcuts or rawness, you know, hold on, let me explain. Microcuts is what we in our group have defined as, like, they feel like small little paper cuts on the vulva, or rawness. It feels like someone rubbed your vulva with sandpaper. It's okay. More than irritation. It's like, oh, your irritation. I'm like, there's irritation, then there's rawness. That's a little different. And we found that there wasn't terms for this stuff. So we just started, you know, throwing that out there and that sort of stick.
Okay.
So when the vaginal pain started coming back with the miscarriage, I'd already pieced together from the Strep blog. He had one post on Strep and it said 90% of women with pelvic inflammatory disorder, which is not vulvodynia, let me explain, is caused by Strep. And I was like, sure, I'll go with that. Why not? So my protocol was a Strep. And I didn't even realize that if you have Strep, you have EBV. You have Strep because EBV creates slime. Strep lives in that slime. So if you have Strep issues, assume that you have EBV and you have to kill both. Okay. So I was doing the Strep protocol and I was able to get the burning down to about 90%, 95%.
And that must be a massive difference from what you have described.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Well, now I had control. Oh, because like before you didn't know. You like eat stuff and be like, why is this burning? For example, which is Mexican food, which isn't like the best, but it's not the worst. It doesn't have eggs. It does have dairy. If you can get around that, whatever. One time I had Mexican food and I was fine. And then the next time it was burning. And then I realized the Mexican food was wrapped in aluminum foil because we got it to go. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like things like canola oil, never would have put canola and oil together. Eggs. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I could see that. Dairy. Totally. Like I knew that from the candida stuff, but there was other ones that I just didn't see coming. And years before Anthony William, I had already figured out, because God forbid I only had vulvodynia. I also had chronic UTIs. I also had like yeast infections here and there and like rawness and weird rashes. I'm like, it just was like I had like my catch-all vagina, just like vagina problems.
It was right? A busy place down there.
It was just, and which, hey, now we're getting personal. This is why I go a little anonymous, because I really want to talk about this, because a lot of the doctors wanted to blame it on STDs. And I have been with one partner, and my one partner husband has been with me. And that kind of really took the ground from underneath the doctors, because they really wanted to blame on STDs. And they just didn't know what to do with me. And, you know, you can get these viruses from sex. You can also get them from a doorknob. I'm just saying, they come from anywhere. And honestly, in our group, we find most of them come from the Strep. So Anthony William talks about if you have chronic UTIs, chronic bacterial vaginosis, if you have a lot of this stuff, you also have Strep in the intestine. I like to take it a step further and say it was caused by the Strep in the intestine that just kept going south. Especially if you have metals in your system, let's assume We all do, right? The metals also tend to sink in our system. So if you talk to somebody who has Raynaud's, or if he talks about other issues that the metals sink, well, yeah, they could also go to your fingers, but I'm arguing they can also go just sink straight down to the vagina. So you have strapping low intestine, metals sink down to your vagina. It's just like a whirlwind of just like badness, basically.
And I think we see that a lot with DDT and lichen sclerosis.
Yeah. Yeah. And this part, when I started coaching, and again, this was me just like, I eventually, and we'll go into this, but I eventually did a blog and people just were like, help. Like, I don't, and there wasn't the coaches there are now. And that I talked to multiple mothers of children who had this, who were 6, 7, you know, and they were just, I think, relieved to hear it has nothing to do with sex. That there is so many ways that this could have gone wrong. So, okay, where were we? I got sidetracked. So after my miscarriage, so then I did his protocol for strep, and then his book must have come out. Eventually I added lobelia, and lobelia literally helped almost on contact. And I was like, it's shingles. Of course it's shingles, Sarah. Vaginal burning is shingles. So imagine burning is a neurological. Now it's so much clearer. Burning is a neurological condition. That means if you have burning, if you have itching, those are nerves. Okay. So say if you have a yeast infection, that yeast is irritating the nerves. So that's only one thing. If you're having itching on the outside, but you also have a little bit of discharge, that could be caused from the yeast. So what's nice though, is that like, oh my God, there's so many options. Not really. I broke down from like 1,000 different options to like 4 or 5, and you just try them out. And basically, and there's a lot of them overlap. Like I was able to get rid of most of the burning by doing a strep protocol when I should have been on a shingles protocol, because most of the strep things kill shingles. Cat's claw kills shingles. Also a strep. Aloe does both. Aloe does strep and shingles and EBV, like the whole thing.
Yep, which is great. And the one thing I want to interject here on lobelia, and Anthony William mentioned this on a live back in the middle of 2020, that the quality of lobelia over time has degraded. And now the thing that he recommends instead is propolis.
Yes.
Have you found that propolis has been as effective with people or with yourself?
So he said the propolis thing a while ago. He didn't really start pushing it until recently. So it has not been active in our group, but I promoted it really heavily. So hopefully in the next 6 months, we'll see, you know, honestly, if he says it works, like I'm just great. It's going to work.
Amen.
I know. So the propolis that he talks about is different than the propolis that was in different generations, and it's made differently. And it should, I mean, for vaginas, I did a whole post on it because it heals almost everything, right? So it's going to be one of our, at least going forward, it's going to be in one of our staples. The hard part about where I am now is that I can't lean on my own experience with my vagina is fine now. So, but I can lean on other people's experience, which is I'm kind of become like a point person of just like, okay, what is everyone doing and what's working, and I'll write it down so people can remember. It's kind of pretty much where I've like niched. That's my little niche.
Perfect. And I will say that the reason that Anthony has been talking about that more recently was because Vimergy just came out with their new Propolis Plus, I think it's called. And so he has covered more. It was funny because I went back into, I had said to somebody at one point that we really needed a PDR, like a physician's desk reference on herbs and supplements for medical medium. And of course, nobody has this. And I'm like, well, I guess I have to create my own. So I have this massive document that I can search. So I have all this information in one place. And to say that what I had on propolis was short and included the thing about the lobelia, I'm like, I got almost nothing on propolis. So it's been great that he's been talking about that more.
Yeah.
And that we have a much higher quality one now.
And I think people get a little bit overwhelmed with all the supplements and all the things that he recommends, which I totally understand. But I also understand where he's coming from is I live in Ireland. I used to live in California. Ireland, you can't get a lot of that stuff. I feel that he's doing all this list because he knows it's going to eventually go out to the world and we're going to have to pull what we can, you know? So some of those things that he recommends, you can't get in Ireland. Although they do have great distributors. And if anybody lives outside of America and they're looking for a distributor, go to Vimergy's site, scroll down. It has all the international distributors. That's where you find it.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Good side note. Okay. So during the miscarriage and the healing of the vaginal pain, and then realizing like, I need to step up a little, like I need to get a little more serious. I just had a miscarriage. And at that point, the miscarriage was so emotionally tormenting that I just was like, I'm good with one kid. I am super fine with one kid. So my husband was fine with one kid. We're good to go. So I just, for the next few years, just healing. You know, during that time, I had a shingles outbreak. And this is one of the weird part is that later to I find out working with in our Facebook group is that there is a pattern of women who have vaginal shingles also tend to have shingles of the head, occipital neuralgia. Like I had frozen shoulder, also shingles, trigeminal neuralgia, which is shingles in the nerve and the jaw nerve. And what's weird is that like their vagina calms down and then the jaw pain will start, or their frozen shoulder will start, or their frozen shoulder calms down and the vagina will start. It, and it's not just me. I'm realizing now we're starting to see patterns, because I think we need to understand that we are the first generation who's doing this. We're the first generation who's had this type of information. I mean, Anthony William is great. He can tell someone exactly what's wrong with them, but really he's narrowed it down to like, you could probably try like four or five different protocols and finally get it. So it's a little bit of trial and error in terms of like, okay, what do I exactly have? And that was always my process. Like, okay, I'm going to put together like three or four hypotheses, try one out pretty hardcore. If that doesn't work, try the next one. The cleanse has made it a lot easier. I don't have to do that as much because of the cleanses, because it's kind of a catch-all heal.
Which was the first one you tried?
Oh, this is hilarious. So again, this is back in the day. So when I healed after the miscarriage, I don't know if I did the 28-day cleanse before the miscarriage or after. I'm not quite sure. But what's hilarious about the cleanse is that the only one he had out was a medical medium book, and it was a 28-day cleanse. And I made it through 7 days of that cleanse. Within that 7 days, I was able to get rid of chronic sinus headaches that I would used to get every 2 weeks. But the cleanse was so hard, I couldn't make it further. And then if you notice in his books, the cleanses get like easier and easier and easier. I think he's realizing, oh, that was too hard on them. I should make it a little bit easier. So every cleanse has been just a little bit softer on us. And I think the 28-day cleanse was great, but I could only make it through 7 days.
I made it through 4 my first try.
And again, like I was also still nursing, but I was trying at that point to wean my son, but I was eating so much fruit and increased my milk. So that didn't work. Again, my son was like 3 at the point. So, but I'm a long nurser. I'm a horrible weaner. I just like let them nurse forever. Anyway, so during the 2 years after the miscarriage, I healed the shingles. I healed the occipital neuralgia. I healed a lot of strep stuff. And I didn't do a lot of cleanses. It was just a lot of his protocols. I took out aches pretty easily. Gluten was really hard. And I'm still like, I just want to say it out there. I am not a perfect MMR, like by far.
I'm not either. I'll put it out there too. I'm not perfect.
Can we just straight? So that's what I like to be very honest about, because I think people have in their mind, you have to be perfect to heal. And I'm like, at times, yes, when you're in the worst pain, but usually it's really easy to be perfect when your vagina is on fire, right? So when I was always motivated by pain, it was pretty easy or easier to stay on target. What I found is when I got rid of all the pain, that's when it was difficult, is to stay, you know, because again, I'm not doing this when I'm 20. I'm doing this in my late 30s, early 40s, where like my liver is already full of everything I've put in it. You know, like I've noticed younger women tend to heal a little bit faster than the ones, the older ones, because we've had just had more exposure to toxins. So then 2 years later, and this is the reason this podcast is anonymous, is that me and my husband were taking precautions not to get pregnant. And we got pregnant, or not we, I got pregnant with my daughter, Chloe. And
you're not the first person I've heard say that. I feel like once our bodies, you know, they're super fertile.
They're super fertile. You got to watch out, man. It's a whole other ball game. So during Chloe's pregnancy, I was not gestational diabetic, which was great. And I was pain-free. This is an interesting story. I was pain-free. And then 3 or 4 months in, there was a horrible forest fires in Northern California, which so many years ago. And 3 days into the smoke, my vagina started burning.
Oh.
And I was like, ugh. So I literally got out my own blog and was like going through my own blog and going through my own protocols that I had designed. And I couldn't get ahead of this. And this kind of goes through my process. Okay. So I'm like, I go into the gynecologist and be like, hey, I know I have vulvodynia. You're not doing an internal exam. Tell me the baby's okay. And I'm good to go. I know you can't help me. And both the doctors were like, because they had 2 doctors there, because they already, I was a high risk case. And they're like, okay, that sounds great. Like they knew that I knew that they didn't know. They were happy that I knew that they didn't know. I was like, cool, thanks. I'll have to fix this myself. Again.
Check. Check. Okay. So this is how my process works. So I was like, okay, so I'm doing all my stuff. I'm going through my blog and it's like keeping the pain down until the afternoon. Right. So that takes me 4, 5, or 6 days to realize that my normal stuff isn't working. Okay. So I'm like praying. And again, angels are a big part of this game, just because like, you're not doing this alone. And cause again, there wasn't these groups. So it was just me and my angels, just like trying to put this together and them trying to, you know, get through to me. And then I had realized, oh, wait, I don't poop in the morning. Now I poop in the afternoon. When did that happen? When the forest fire started. So if you imagine, if you have a lot of toxins or a lot of tons of toxins, the liver is taking all its energy to detox the toxins and not take enough energy to make sure you're pooping on time. Right. Mm. So when you don't poop on time.
And pooping on time is morning, right? Because our bodies have detoxed and flushed overnight. And the first thing your body, in theory, should want to do is get it out. Down and out, down and out, down and out. But instead, your body's waiting until the afternoon and leaving it all in there.
Leave it all in there. And it was creating an ammonia gas, which he talks about. And this gas can go over and inflame anything. So when I switched my protocols to, and I write this, there's a whole post about this in my blog. I switched my protocols to an aloe vera, papaya, celery juice, to a gut healing protocol. It was like a button, just turned off the pain. Just, boop, that was it. And it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it's definitely a slower, but that was like, oh yeah, that was it. We just had to poop. That's all, just all we want to do.
And so once you implemented that protocol, you started pooping in the morning and it just took care of it.
Yeah. Cause when you're pregnant, you can't do herbs. So most vast majority of herbs, you can't do the herbs. And he'll talk about this for a lot for pregnant people, but the aloe vera is safe. Now, again, with most midwives, they don't like aloe vera. He's fine with it. He's fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. And I drink it. Everyone's fine. So when you're pregnant, and I have another pregnant healing story, another woman who had vulvodynia in Australia and who I was helping, actually I've helped a few, and that's in my blog too. So when you're healing someone pregnant who's flaring when they're pregnant, you lean more on juices than you would herbs, which honestly is fine because in my experience, juices are way more powerful at times than herbs. And again, most of the time when I was healing, I didn't have a lot of money. I was a stay-at-home mom and we were barely making it. And so I couldn't do the supplementation that I do now. I didn't have the budget for it. And guess what? I still healed. So I know the supplements really shorten your journey. But really, when you're focusing on fruits and vegetables and his heavy metal detox, B12, zinc, and some of the basics, you can heal. You know, like you can heal. It's fine. Now I love the supplementation because I can afford it. But back then I couldn't. I did most of my healing back then. I did do a lot of loose herbs. I found loose herbs were more powerful than tea bags in terms of pain reduction.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
The teas themselves weren't strong. You probably would have had to put like 5 bags in to get what I was doing in loose herbs, but you have to have a really well-sourced herbalist store. And I did in Northern California.
It also makes me think that the herbs from the loose teas that you were buying were probably better quality than what's in the bags as well. So you had quality and probably quantity, right?
No. So actually it was more about quantity. So hit the tea bags that he recommends are actually down the street from where I buy my herbs in Sebastopol in California. And so they all come from organic, nice sources. It's just the amount. I just needed a stronger dose of it. So that's probably why he recommends tinctures, because teas are neither hydrating nor dehydrating. So they're not really hydrating. So that's why I'm assuming that he has a lot of focus on tinctures, is because you're leaving room for the liquids that are actually hydrating. Okay. So yes. So her birth was wild. Her birth was, my water broke and she was out in 50 minutes. Just, we barely made it to the hospital. The hospital on the way was trying to convince us to go to another hospital. I'm like, I don't know where the other hospital is. And no one even discussed the pain medication because I was already in birth when we got there. And the whole time, I know people like to picture birth as this, like, especially for the new mothers, like with the doulas, and it's very calming. I literally was yelling, I am shitting, over and over again while I gave birth to my daughter. Cause that's what it feels like when you're not on an epidural. So, and then everyone's like, so how healed are you, Sarah? I'm like, I'm pretty healed. Pretty. I had my daughter without any pain medication.
You were saying before that, and maybe you had an epidural when you had your son, but
yeah.
Like, do you think your pain level was better, or is there any comparison? And I should just take this out.
No, it was like ripping a Band-Aid off. It was just like, just rip that off as fast as you can. It was painful at its peak, but the peak was very short. What was most important is that because it was so short and I didn't have an epidural, and if I didn't have an epidural, then I didn't have to have a catheter. I was walking by myself later that afternoon. I was taking a shower the next day. Like, I was walking around. I was in pain for 6 months after my son's birth. My son also had a heart murmur. He was hypoglycemic. He had a speech delay. He had severe mood swings. We were already seeing an endocrinologist at the age of two. My daughter has none of that. Maybe a little hypoglycemia. She's a little moody if she doesn't eat, but like nothing at the level that he was. And you think healing a burning vagina is hard? Try healing a two-year-old hypoglycemic. Healing the vagina was a warm-up to healing a 2 to 3 year old who had a severe mood swings.
Wow.
So during the whole time, you know, this isn't just about the burning vagina, which funny is I focused on the burning vagina because that was my extreme, but I also had chronic UTIs at times. I had yeast infections. I had bacterial vaginosis. I had weird rashes, all this crazy stuff. So I posted my blog because I was like, well, I want to help. I want to get out there and I want to help. I can't just walk away from this, you know, because when I would go back on forums, I was like, hey, I'm healed. No one would believe me. Which is weird because no one believed me when I was sick, when I went to the doctors. Then I go, I'm healed. Then I go back to the online and they like didn't believe me that I was healed. And I was like, this is exhausting. Like, this, no one's believing me either way. So I posted my blog and then women out of nowhere would be like, can you just help? And so for years, you know, I had no training in this. I wasn't, you know, I would just volunteer my time, like, sure, I can try my best to help you. Yeah. So a handful of them are still on some of the Facebook groups who I had helped back then. And one of them recruited me to coach on a general vulva warrior group. And at that point, that Facebook group was so desperate. They were in so much pain and they were so lost. And I would just medical medium them. And they were still doing urine therapy. And I'm not sure if you know what that is. It's like drinking urine. It's like bathing in urine. And what's so funny is that Anthony William discusses urine therapy. And I know the medical media community was like, that's crazy. Who would do that? And I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about because my group loves it and it's driving me nuts. So eventually one of the other women who admin the medical medium vulva warrior group, we were the ones just who like just kept going and the other coaches fell off. And so we took away all the urine stuff. So we have two groups. We have a vulva warrior Facebook group who just general vaginal issues. And then the vulva warrior medical medium group just specializes in medical medium. And we just do medical medium stuff because we saw so much success with the medical medium stuff, which I knew would happen because it's only stuff that works, that we move it into its own group. So we just discuss that there. But during that stage, we've been able to now it's not just my experience. We're starting to see patterns in women's cases. And we're like that weird shingles thing. Like we're starting to see, like one woman I talked to got food poisoning. Then 2 weeks later, her vagina started burning. You know, like we're starting to piece this together. Water for vaginas is huge because imagine that our group have real issues with detoxing because all our detox pathways, the urethra, the vagina, having a period is another form of detox, or is another avenue of detox. You know, your butt, same thing, you know, all detox pathways. Water for us is key. I found that years before Anthony William, if I drank 2 glasses of the tap water, my urethra would start burning. I figured that out years before Anthony William. So I was on reverse osmosis for years until I got a Berkey. And then another woman I was coaching when she was pregnant and she was in pain. Sorry, if you hear little coos, that's my daughter nursing. Another woman I coached, she was pregnant and we couldn't get the pain down. Like, you know, we kept moving stuff around and trying different protocols. We couldn't get her pain down. She had went away on a vacation to a forested area. And she said that she wasn't even, her diet wasn't that great. You know, what she was eating wasn't that great, but her pain was gone. And she came home to more of like a Northern California, like San Francisco Bay Area. And she had 1 glass of tap water and her vagina started burning. So then we're starting to see patterns like that's not just me making my urethra burn, you know?
So can you put a finer point on exactly what was happening with your water and what was happening with her water that was triggering this?
Yeah. So the tap water that made my urethra burn and her tap water that made her vagina burn, they both have toxins in them that are feeding the viruses that are inflaming the vagina and urethra. You know, both the vagina and the urethra are both, you know, detox pathways. That's how virus, you know, that's how toxins leave the system. So in our group, where I know Anthony William does have shows on water, in our group, it's foundational. It's not, oh, get to that after, you know, these few things do first. For us, it's like, no, you need to do that. That one needs to be like number three, because you won't make progress until you get a cleaner water source. That's a little different than some of the other groups who tend not to have as much detox reactions as we do. So
that makes sense. Interesting. Yeah. And it's fascinating that there are some of these pieces of the puzzle that I'll say are sort of outside of the foundation of most of the, you know, the fruits and vegetables and the celery juice and the supplements, but it's these pieces that can really contribute. One of the ones I find with a lot of people is radiation. That keeps coming up for me. Yeah. It really helped me. I'm seeing it help a lot of other people. So I'm trying to put out more about it because I think it's one of those things that gets ignored. And what you're saying is water for your group has been truly foundational yeah. like that. So that's great. I'm so glad we got to yeah. cover that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And the other piece that gets ignored in our, not ignored, it's just, there's so much medical medium information. If you're not familiar with a lot of it, one of the things, if you have vaginal issues, you need to be addressing strep in your lower intestine. Just assume that you have strep in the lower intestine too, and making that a focus. I mean, now that we're understanding that we are sort of the first generation to be healing in this way, we're starting to see patterns, you know, that he has given us a foundation of, this is the stuff that you need to know. And now we're moving forward like, oh, do you have this, this, and this? Oh, along with this, this, and this, we're starting to see patterns in our own pain together. One of the other patterns is weight loss, you know, obviously weight gain, which is, you would assume, because you have metals and then you have viruses, but also women are, I'd say at least a fourth of women can't keep the weight on, which is a sign of EBV, which is a very strange symptom to be in our day and age. You know, yeah, we're just starting to pull out these things that it's nice that, like, oh, you're not alone because of this, this, and this. It's just nice not to do this together, because when you're trying to heal a vagina, you can't talk to most of your friends about this. They don't want to hear about your vagina. You know, maybe your closest ones do. You can't, you know, you have to hide it from your work. You have to, you know, it's a very isolating type of pain. And, you know, for the older generations and even my generation, a lot of times they have a comfortable time talking about the vagina because they think it's like, they have a lot of, you know, things around, you know, sex and such. So I think that is a big healing part of having a community where we can openly talk about like vaginas and urethras and buttholes, because those can burn too. You know, so we have a whole, and then people be like, I'm sorry, this is like TMI, but my butthole's burning. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah. And there's a section about this and this, you know, on this page. And for some reason, we'll talk about vaginas, but anything else, like, oh no, that's, we can't talk about that. Like, oh, you can, because that's actually part of the whole thing too.
Yep. And you know, I put disclosures up ahead of these particular episodes because A, I'm not sure men really want to listen to this, right? Fine. But secondly, there are people who are really uncomfortable about talking about vaginas and buttholes. And let's be clear, that's what we talk about on these episodes. And so I want to make sure that those people know ahead of time. So they're forewarned. If they don't want to listen, they don't have to. But the people who really need to know, and they're like, okay, now I know this episode is going into this and we're going deep on this. And there's going to be a lot of talk about this. I'm ready. I totally understand your point about how this isn't discussed, because since my interview with Kathy Catlin back in January of this year, I have talked to a couple different friends about that episode. And two of my friends said that they both had lichen sclerosis. And this was something that one of the friends I've known for quite a while, and I know a lot of what her health issues are. And she had never brought it up before.
Yeah.
And this was even within our community. And I was surprised, because it's like, it's just stuff people don't want to talk about. So I'm hoping that by having episodes like this, even if you don't want to go out and talk about it, you can hopefully come here to this safe place in a podcast and just listen and hopefully glean something from it and then find your wonderful Facebook group.
Yeah. And the one piece that I want to make sure that we highlight is that, especially in our group, we really focus on mental health. You know, one of our admins is a therapist, and because it's such an isolating condition, and that needs to be a number, honestly, higher than the vagina, you know, like that needs to be a number one priority, making sure that the protocol you're doing, yes, is correct, but the speed that you're doing, and you might be going too fast. You might want to slow down if that's too much. Or at the same time, you might want to, I call it ride the wave of the pain. If your pain is so much and you will do anything, do it. Go as hard as you can. But you, for in my experience, when the pain stops, that's where the motivation kind of stops too. But at least you got as far as you did, because you'll get really far when that pain is chasing you. And yeah, making your mental health a top priority is really important when healing this condition. And finding that support in other, and just talking to other women that who have the same conditions you do, because the doctors can't even figure this out. You know, they can't even put the patterns together, where we're clearly putting patterns together of people's pain and pain types and protocols. And that's important. You know, I mean, if the doctors aren't going to do it for us, fine, we'll do it. We do it on Facebook and a blog.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And there's so much compassion because so many of the people in that group understand, where the doctors can't even figure out what it is. They certainly don't understand, which I think is limiting on the compassion front, right? It's not that they don't want to be compassionate, but they don't understand.
They don't have the bandwidth to be compassionate. You know, they're seeing 40 something people a day, you know, like they don't, and they also don't have that. They're sort of, unfortunately, they're locked down in a paradigm that they can't detect EBV. They can't detect shingles. Like, they can't detect these things, you know, well, we're outside of that. So the medical medium stuff is obviously foundational. He's telling us what's wrong and what are the things that could go wrong. The second piece is seeing patterns within our own group and knowing that, you know, this worked for this one and this, you know, worked for this person and this worked for this person. That is also very, very helpful. Yeah.
And I think that's so valuable because it helps you guys take that to the next level.
Yeah. So we're, you know, and again, like none of us are being paid to do this. You know, my website, I put out there like, I don't make any money from this. Like some people crochet, I help women heal their vagina. You know, like there was years that I coached and I realized that that's not really what I want my role to be, because I want some of the coaches that are available now do this every day, all day long. Like they're really good at this. My role now is to collect these common stories and make sure that we don't lose a piece that's important, and to sort of corral everybody to make sure that we're all kind of going the same direction. But there are, and so the coaches that I recommend on my website, they don't even know that they're on there, most of them, you know. So I'm not affiliated with these people, but if I was able to call somebody and them from just tell me like, this is what's going on, these are the things that you need to do, freaking lifesaver, you know, although I've never seen a coach. I never saw somebody who's a medical medium coach. I had a brief appointment with one person who recommended like plant tinctures. They weren't even tinctures. They were like plant things that they weren't even medical medium. So I didn't really ever see a medical medium coach. And so you could do this all with information that he provides.
Fantastic. With a little help from your Vulva Warriors medical medium.
Oh, my Vulva Warriors. Yes, of course.
Yay.
Yeah. So if you go to my website, you'll see, you know, the blog directory, but the one that you're really looking for is the post that's titled, "What Does Anthony Williams Say About My Symptoms?" There's a link on top of the website. And I have just compiled everything he's ever said about the vagina or the urethra or the butthole, basically. And that can help you narrow down your protocol. We have found now that one of the easiest ways is to do a simplified cleanse while incorporating the recommendations for your specific ailment. And I talk about that a lot in my blogs or a lot on my website as well.
Fantastic. And your website, the address just changed. Now I think it's healingvaginas.org.
Yeah, I'm going straight to the point. Healingvaginas.org. It's all in there. It's a lot of information, but it's, you know, you can go there or you can go to our Facebook group if you need more support.
And I think your website is really well done because it walks through a lot of the questions that people may have coming in and walks through the experience that you've had and how they can help themselves with this. And I think it's such a huge asset to this community.
Yeah. And all the lessons that we learn on Vulva Warriors Medical Medium, I like to post them on the website so we don't forget. There's a lot of experiences that are very helpful to the women coming after us that they need to remember, that they need to know. And so the stories that come out of the Vulva Warriors Facebook group, the medical medium group, I pull those stories, sometimes just copy and paste, and I put them into the website so they know, oh, this worked for this person, when she had this symptom, this, and this is what you do. Because in my experience, his stuff was super great, but it really helped when somebody else had done this, this, and this, and that really helped having that experience.
Right. Because there's so many permutations of the information he gives us that you can try.
You could go in so many different directions with the information that he gives you. And especially when you're dealing with vagina stuff, you're like, it's really could be like 3 or 4 or 5 different things. And so it's a little bit of trial and error of trying things out and trying out what other people did. But definitely the success that, you know, this group has only been around maybe a year and something, and it's already like 600 people. So I don't know how we're going to handle any more people, but it definitely, and you can tell in Anthony Williams' information, his written books, is that he's been healing vaginas for a long time. He never mentions vulvodynia because it's a very empty diagnosis. He mentions vaginal burning. He mentions in like bladder infections, UTI infections, bladder retention. Like there's all these, like there's vaginal pain, then there's vaginal burning, then there's outside burning, then there's outside itch. Like he knows, he's healed some vaginas in his time. This is all what I'm quoting is from is the Life Changing Foods book. Like you can tell in his descriptions of the pain, he never goes into empty diagnosis that we know, you know, because when I started to help women, they were also diagnosed with vulvodynia, but their symptoms looked nothing like mine, nothing like mine. You know, some was nerve pain, some was burning, someone's rashes, it was just like, oh, this is a catch-all diagnosis of we don't know what's wrong with you. One thing I should state is that if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you've at least seen 7 doctors. This is important because the same symptoms that calls up vulvodynia also are very similar to vulva cancer or vagina cancer. That being said, in our groups, I have one group that's 1,500 people, one group that's 600 people. I've seen maybe 1 or 2 people with vaginal cancer. So this is definitely a very, very small minority, but I just want you to know that it's the same symptoms. But if you've seen 7 doctors, they've already probably tested you for this without telling you. So, and I had this for 15 years and never had a cancer scare. So I don't want to freak anybody out, but I also want to have that awareness there that that is why you can't not see a conventional doctor, because you want to rule out, you need to rule out those most dangerous things. I've had turn people away when they've only seen a few doctors. I'm like, I can't talk to you until you've seen more. Like you need to rule stuff out before you get on board with some of this stuff.
And I think that's so important in our community because so many people have felt so alienated by the medical community, which trust me, I understand for all the doctor shopping and all the bad advice that people have gotten and all the issues. But there are times when having somebody being able to see you in person and examine your situation and run some blood tests and look at the results could yield a diagnosis that you really want to know about, such as cancer.
Such as cancer. And the other ones is that sometimes they can help you out at times. I mean, especially with the vulvodynia stuff, they'll have no idea. So let that go. Just move on. But some of the stuff, like it's helpful to know, okay, do I have bacterial vaginosis? Do I have a yeast infection? Does this look similar to lichen or does it look similar to, you know, a vaginal rash? You know, like, so I have a whole post on doctors and how to deal with doctors when you have vaginal issues. Cause there are things that you can do. You can first not take your pants off. Don't take your pants off until you get to the doctor, tell them what's going on, ask them the questions, right? Also, talk to the nurses. They know who the nice doctors are, okay? Don't underestimate. They know who the nice doctors are. There's a whole post on how you deal with doctors and, you know, working with vaginas because sometimes you really do need to see. Okay, let's do another example. So one of my examples is that, and this is not even to do with the vagina, but this is when the 2 years of healing, one of my lymph nodes behind my ear was really hard and really painful. I couldn't even sleep. And so this is kind of my process. So I did the lymphatic protocol. I did the lymph protocol. I did all these different like lymph protocols and none of them worked. I'm like, okay. So, and I give myself a week. I'm like, okay, if I can't figure it out, I'll go to a conventional doctor because this is a new ailment, right? So with new ailments, I'm like, I'll give myself some time. I'll go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor he looks at me in 1 second. He's like, you have shingles. And I was 35 at the time, or like 37. He's like, you're too young for shingles. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, those are zits. He's like, those aren't zits. Those are shingles. And I was like, oh, and I was like, I literally said, I know what to do with shingles. He looked at me like I was nuts. And I was like, never mind. And so he was like, no, you need to be on this antiviral to kill the shingle, that, you know, because I don't want you to have all these issues. And he just scared me into it. And you think by this point that I would just ignore him, but I'm just, you know, I'm a mother. I'm afraid that, you know, I don't want anything to go wrong. So I take it for 24 hours, promptly get a vaginal rash. So then I have to, oh yeah, totally. So then I have to heal the shingles with the shingles protocol and then heal the vaginal rash with the lichen protocol, both which work just fine. But again, without that information, I would have thought the spots in my face, which I had never mentioned before, because in my mind, they were zits. They weren't shingles. So the doctors can help you get a diagnosis if they can help, just because they can help you figure out what protocol you should be on, you know? Absolutely. And if they can't figure that out, like, you know, then you're like, okay, cool. Then this is not super, super dangerous. And it gives, then I have more time basically, you know? So yes. And that took me years because I had PTSD from the doctor's appointments. Can you imagine having a vaginal examination where you have vaginal burn? Oh yeah. I totally had PTSD from that.
Wow.
So, but I have a whole post on how to sort of manage, you know, those appointments.
Okay. And I'll link to that specifically in the show notes, because I think that'll be really helpful.
Yeah. You just can't walk away. You have to make sure that you're going to be safe and that you have time to heal this, that it's not super, super dangerous in that, you know, anyway. Yeah.
So if somebody had just gotten a diagnosis of vulvodynia, what would you tell them? What would you suggest for them?
I would first start working on belief. There's success stories on my blog, my own self story. Building up the belief that you can heal is important. Getting the basics down, read post number one on my blog, which walks you through just the medical medium basics. Then go to post 20, which will walk you through how to begin medical medium step by step. And in there, it will give you a guide of what to read first, because half of this battle is just to learn what has been happening and what has, how your body needs to heal and what your body needs to heal. So I talked to other women who had been diagnosed with vulvodynia, whose pain was extremely different than vaginal burning. It was nerve pain or rawness or microcuts, or it was just vulvodynia in the medical world is just a catch-all phrase for everything. So to tackle it with medical medium, tackle your specific ailment, right? So on post 3 of my blog, use the search function. Search for your specific pain type. For example, if my vagina started burning again, I would look up, I would go on to post 3, look up burning. This would give me the specific recommendations that Anthony William has advised to heal vaginal burning, which is nettle leaf, raspberry leaf, licorice root, papaya, radishes, cat's claw, right? So those are your specific things that heal vaginal burning. In there, there's sections that are like, if it was me, this is what I would do, which is always a celery, cucumber, cilantro, or flat leaf parsley juice. Why? Because those things heal shingles. Those things heal neurological inflammation, which is what burning is. So even if you're doing medical medium specific recommendations for your pain type, I would be surprised if you could decrease your pain by doing those. You really need to get some of the basic medical medium stuff down, which is the lemon water, the celery juice, the heavy metal detox, the B12 and the zinc, right? So you need to get some of your basics down. If you're doing some of the specific recommendations like cat's claw, but then eating an egg afterwards or eating some yogurt, that's just going to work against you. So some of those no foods, you need to work on removing those. And that for me has been the hardest challenge of all.
I was looking in your blog and you mentioned that at one point in your blog where you started keeping a food journal, because you suddenly started to realize that while you thought you were being quote unquote good, that all of a sudden there were a few too many things that were sneaking in.
I lie to myself like no other. I just was like, I had to start keeping a food journal because in my head I was like, oh, I'm cheating like once every few days. No, no, no. It sneaks up on you even after this long. Cause I basically live in Ireland, this cute village where I have like really nice bakeries on literally both sides of me, three in a 2 minute walking distance. Oh, and I would just get one here and there. And what I learned is that when I started doing a food journal, oh no, no, that one every week turned to two, turned to three, turned to almost every day. And this is just an example of how to work with food addictions and removing foods from your diet and knowing that they will hurt you. Work with replacements rather than just removing things, right? So what I did is I created some medical medium, like his blueberry muffins, things that I could keep in my stroller with my child. And when I would walk by, I would just pull a medical medium blueberry muffin out instead of going into the bakery. So when you're removing no foods, my best advice would be focus on replacing those things, right?
I think that's such good advice because if you look online, there are a lot of good replacements. One of the things I really missed for a long time was pancakes. And I finally found a recipe that is completely clean. And I will tell you, if I made those pancakes for any of you guys, you would be like, these are fantastic. I had no idea that they didn't have any of the no foods in them. Like it just took me some time to find the right recipe though, that worked with the constraints that we're under. So I'm with you on this.
Can you send me that?
That's absolutely
like these things are really, really important because, you know, it's really hard to live without these foods that you're surrounded by every day. You know, one of the other coaches in our group reminds us like food is a social interaction, you know, it's kind of woven into our life and we're choosing a lifestyle change because we don't want to live in pain. So,
and we shouldn't have to choose not being in pain and enjoying time with the people that we know and love.
Yes.
Because that's, I think, where a lot of things break down because it can seem like it becomes one or the other.
Yes. Just to swing back to the vulvodynia, if you're having, because the vulvodynia is a catch-all, right? So mine was burning. Some people who get diagnosed with vulvodynia have like prickle, like, you know, nerve pain. It's nerve pain. Your nerves are being inflamed, right? So when you're on post 3 on my blog, use the search function, put in your specific pain type and things will start showing up and you can start piecing things together and then work in your protocol that way. So that is what I would do. And then eventually what you're aiming for is you're working yourself up to a simplified cleanse or one of the liver cleanses in the Cleanse to Heal book. I found there was once I got food poisoning and my vagina started burning. Shocker. Oh no, it was itch. I'm sorry. It was vulva itch. So I had food poison in 2 weeks. And about 2 weeks later, my vulva started itching and I did all my things and I couldn't get a handle on it. And there's a lot of factors to that. I didn't realize I was cooking with bad pans. I was eating salt, the pink salt that had a lot of copper in it. I didn't realize those things at the time, but I couldn't get on top of it. So I did a simplified cleanse. All the itch was gone in by day 3. So the cleanses are really there just to get a step up of your pain. So if you're ever stuck, drop into a simplified cleanse, even just for a few days can help you get your pain down.
Okay. Well, awesome. It sounds like you have a little somebody who needs some attention. So we've had such a good conversation. We could wrap this up and you can get back to your family. Aww.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Say thank you.
So if people want to find you on social media, where can they look?
They can find us on Vulva Warriors Medical Medium and Affiliated. That's our medical medium group. They can also find me on healingvaginas.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on here, Sarah. This has been incredible. And it's been so fun connecting with you through this.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It was so nice to talk to you and talk all about all the vaginas.
Awesome. I hope you found this episode as fascinating and as informative as I did. If you're looking for links to anything we talked about in this episode, including Sarah's website, healingvaginas.org, or the Vulva Warriors Facebook groups, I've included them in the show notes for this episode, which is episode number 76. You will need to hit follow in your podcast provider to be able to see the show notes, but the other benefit is that now you'll be alerted to when a new episode for Quest for Healing comes out. The other place that you can always find these links is on my website at carefullyhealing.com/podcast. Now, looking ahead, in the next episode, Eileen Crispell is coming back on the podcast. Eileen is a shaman, and you may remember her from episode 50 last year when we talked about the emotional and the spiritual aspects of a health journey. But in this episode, we completely shift gears to her previous occupation as an architect to talk about green architecture and some of the ways that you can think about avoiding and eliminating toxins, creating flow and positive energy, and introducing beneficial light around your home. We also talk about things that you may want to consider ahead of doing renovations or building a new home. So tune in next week for this very educational episode. If you've been enjoying Quest for Healing and finding it helpful on your own health journey, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best ways that you can help me spread the word so that together we can help more people find the healing information that they need. Thank you in advance. And if you're looking for additional support on your own health journey, you can learn more about how we can work together directly by going to my health coaching website at carefullyhealing.com or by finding me on social media, on Facebook at Carefully Healing, and on Instagram and YouTube at Carefully Healing with Kirsten. Thank you for joining me today on the Quest for Healing podcast. These discussions are not intended to provide medical advice, but rather to give you examples of methods and modalities that you may find interesting, informative, or helpful. Please work with your doctor as you undertake your own health journey. Hey, it's Kirsten. Before I started out on my health journey, I didn't know how poisonous many of the cleaners I used in my home were. Then when I started trying to clean the toxins out of my body, I started to question if the cleaners I was using were just adding back more. And how does that make sense when we're using toxic chemicals to get things clean? So imagine how excited I was when I found non-toxic, fragrance-free, essential oil-free Branch Basics cleaners. Now I use them for many things around my house, including scrubbing my kitchen and bathroom, cleaning my juicer, and as the laundry detergent for cleaning my clothes. Plus, it's also the soap that I use to wash my fruit because it's also sodium lauryl sulfate free. So check out branchbasics.com. Their starter kits make it so easy to get started, and you can use my code CAREFULLYHEALING, which is all one word, for 15% off your purchase. And because I always want to be upfront with you, this is an affiliate link, so I will earn a small commission if you buy using my code. But I only recommend this product because I love it and use it myself. So if you're ready to start cleaning your home with a healthier cleaner, go to branchbasics.com.